live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
The best part about when the Tony Romas coming here is watching Tim peck through it like a seagull going through trash looking for something not made out of beef. It's just, and eventually, and you know, the next step for the Atkins people is they'll just start making the rolls out of beef too.
Now what's this? That's it. It's a beef roll.
Those were good rolls.
It's 3 minutes and 3 seconds after the hour 12, and this, the month of January, in the year of our Lord 2004. In this, the city of tomorrow, Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. We're here with Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley, and the KOTK Newsroom. Big show today. All kinds of stuff to get to. We have CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano, who will be joining us from someplace dull and uninteresting. Well, because I know that Bisney's traveling back from Iowa to wherever it is he's traveling now. So Giuliano's going to talk to us on the eve of the State of the Union address, and we'll talk about this. Man, Dean got beaten like a gong. Just got beaten like the family snake, man. It's just unbelievable. So we'll talk about that. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop from Los Angeles. I'm spitting all over myself like that. Did you ever do that thing where it's like some days you just got more saliva than others? Some days you come on and you're speaking normally, and other days you just sound like Michael Reagan. You just come on and he's trying to talk and it's drool coming out everywhere. I guess other people don't have that problem. Well, never mind. Anyway, Jim Roop's going to be here later from Los Angeles to talk about this. And I'm reading this directly from the CNN thing now. There's apparently a big NASA briefing because they found a sharp rock on Mars. So there you go. Press conference about that. But on that note, Clyde Lewis will be here. Not on the sharp rock note, on the Mars note. Clyde Lewis will be here with News at Ground Zero later on. Kristen from Accounting will be here for a... she'll be pinch-hitting today. Today's installment of How Chicks Think. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Oh, plus we got some stuff off the new Jay-Z album, which you're going to want to hear. One of the new Jay-Z songs that we got, so you want to listen for that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be new. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, I got the traffic to Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster, yeah. And he's not having it, the radio gangster, yeah. He's not having it, the radio gangster, yeah.
And now, it's not just news, it's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Don't miss the season finale, Hendrick Thursday, with your Winter Hawks. We get the Rose Garden Thursday night for great hockey, plus $2 hot dogs, sodas, and more. It's your Thursday celebration. Tickets at Ticketmaster or WinterHawks.com. Police are trying to figure out who stole the sword and the crown from the Joan of Arc statue at 39th and Gleason. Several months ago, vandals attacked the statue with black paint, which was eventually scrubbed off.
Who wouldn't want it? It's a sword and a crown. Any number of disaffected high school youth who would want that.
Then here's the second time this has happened in 24 hours. This from Battleground, the Clark County Sheriff's Office reports A man diable attempting to drive through a pond on his property. The body of 37-year-old Dean Allen Thomas was found in his truck, half filled with water. He was last seen at 2 in the morning. He may have died of exposure from the cold water.
From trying to drive through a lake.
You can't do that.
You just... never mind.
Well,
there's certain things you can never, I mean...
People have to learn the hard way.
I'm just going to say, it's like there's certain things you just need to under... It's like I learned that when I was about 16. My dad had the... We had a Jeep Renegade, which was... The Jeep Renegade is the greatest, especially when you live in a big hellhole like Kennewick, because it's just, man, it's just swamps and dust and sagebrush and sand dunes everywhere you go. But it's like the first time, you know, because in the best of circumstances, you know, the Jeep is only 6 feet tall, and like the first time you try to drive through a lake that's 45 feet deep, you sort of understand exactly, you know, the relative heights and how that's going to work out badly for you. So, you know, whatever.
Well, this is hard to believe. It's a head-scratcher. Nobody knows why it happened. This happened again. Actually, it can in Iowa, but John Kerry won the Iowa caucuses.
It doesn't make any sense. When I left last night, I was sitting here lying about 7:30. I was sitting here watching the TV, and they were saying that Kerry was up front, and they were speculating that Gephardt was going to drop out, and they were talking about Edwards, who's like this guy that nobody knows.
Yeah, number two.
I don't even know. I only have the vaguest idea what he looks like.
Yeah, pretty-looking guy.
I only have like a... He looks like Ralph Reed, kind of. I only have the sort of passing relationship with where he's from and what he does. Every time they talk about John Edwards, I think about that guy that does the... You know, that douche that does the crossing over show where he talks to your dead relatives? That guy. Who's that guy?
I'm not sure.
That ass bag that does the thing where he contacts your dead... You know what I'm talking about? Crossing over with... John Edwards.
Yeah,
isn't that his name?
John Edwards. It might
right,
be.
So every time they... Well, I doubt seriously that it's the same guy, but every time they talk about John Edwards, I just pick... Is there someone in your family that starts with a P? You know, that's all I figure. I see him at campaign rallies. I see a president, it's got an E. And I'm sensing an E. That's all I get.
We came in second.
All right.
So it is over and done with. John Kerry unleashes long pent up emotion.
Iowa, I love you. I love you.
Meanwhile, Dick Gephardt, who came in like, well, the very bottom, has quit the presidential race, vowing to spend more time with his family.
Jane, Matt, Chrissy, and Kate.
He forgot the other names, I guess.
and the rest.
Are my life.
Well, they are now.
Yep.
To them, I'll always be grateful.
Yeah, okay.
God
move
bless
along.
You all.
All right, exit to the left. We bill you by the quarter hour in this room, so
watch,
move along,
watch
friend.
The stairs, don't trip.
Go back home now. You can't see because it's like what's his name? It's like when Ed Muskie did the thing where he just sat there and just cried the alligator. You can't do that. You're never going to come back.
No crying.
No, you cry. They're never going to let you back on stage.
Well, a minor earthquake in southern New Hampshire early today prompting dozens of calls from residents worried about everything from explosions to their homes to terrorists. Actually, it was a little earthquake outside of Concord. Or perhaps it was former front runner in the polls Howard Dean remaining defiant.
And Oregon, and Washington, and Michigan! And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House!
Ah! We didn't make that up! That is actually Howard Dean.
It's completely true. If you go to the Drudge Report, the headline in the Drudge Report today is, and I swear to God, this is absolutely true. You can go look it up for yourself. As of this morning, the headline in the Drudge Report was, Dean goes nuts. And the New York Post had a whole thing about it, because he's just... He's gone all wacky. That guy was holding it together pretty tightly, I guess, and now he's just started to come apart like a bad Samsonite, you know, on a turbulent flight. You know what I mean? He's just started to come unspooled. There's a whole lot of issues going on inside that guy's head. Can we play that again?
Sure.
So
why
this
not?
Is where? Okay, now where did this happen?
I believe this happened in New Hampshire.
But was this last night?
I believe it was last night.
So this is last night. This is Howard Dean going nuts last night in New Hampshire.
Iowa.
Or someplace.
Yeah.
Going insane last night after coming in third.
And Oregon, and Washington, and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Right into the turnbuckle.
That's right. Hogan,
I want you, SummerSlam 2004. You're going down.
That's exactly what. And the best part of that is the little samurai whoop he gives at the end as he leaps into the crowd with an axe and begins to carve open, you know, like Maureen Dowd's head. That's genius. We're going to play that 5, 6, 7, 8, 900 times before the end of the show. That's the best thing I've heard so far in 2004. It's going to be hard to beat that for 2004 sound clip of the year.
And we're just starting.
Oh, that's great.
Well, that Ten Commandments monument has been removed from the grounds of City Hall in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A spokesman says safety concerns prompted the move, not church or state issues. The granite marker was placed in front of City Hall because it was closed and nobody saw him. Vernon Robinson said he was inspired by Alabama Chief Justice. What's his face? We already forgot his name. Who lost his job.
Rudy Ray Moore? No.
No.
Somebody else.
Billy Bob something.
Something at Tex.
A city spokesman said officials fear the 4-foot-tall monument would topple over and kill somebody. No protesters at all were present as a backhoe picked it up and dragged it away to a warehouse. Then a cheerleader at Prairie View A&M University in Texas appears to be paralyzed from the neck down after falling.
Appears to be.
Yeah.
How does one appear to be? Well, she's not moving. It could be asleep. I appear to be paralyzed for about 8 hours every night.
Well, it could be like swelling or something. They think maybe that the feeling or movement will return, right. But
I was going to say, yeah, all right.
Well, doctors say 22-year-old Bethany Norwood broke her neck in several places while practicing a cheerleading move. Her parents, Bobby and Marvin Norwood, told the Houston television station what happened.
She was thrown up in a basket toss, it's called, a basket toss. And when she came down,
she landed on her head and then twisted her neck as she landed.
You got to catch her.
Yeah, well, that's, it's like that human pyramid. Do they even do that thing anymore? All of that seems really dangerous. Even when I was a kid, it occurred to me that it was, because there was, you know, that thing where you're like 15 feet above the hardwood floor of the gymnasium, man. That's a whole, bad scene. While we're on the subject, though, am I the only one that you looked at the cheerleaders and they were doing that thing? It's like there's like 13 female cheerleaders, then there's always two guys, and then there's always that whole, you know, like kind of the train of thought you have in your head about why men would be cheerleaders. You always wonder whether it's just because they're, you know, whether the drama class was full or something, or whether they do it to get, like, do you ever get girls by being a cheerleader?
I don't know. You'd have to ask one.
I mean, if you're a male cheerleader, do you suppose that ever gets you any feminine companionship, or is that just, you got to wonder if other cheerleaders
didn't
find
we have that male cheerleader from Lake Oswego on last year?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
that's
that?
Right.
That was a long time ago.
Right. His name was Brian. That's right. Brian, a
I
male
cheerleader. I guess he did pretty well.
Because Christina knew who he was.
Yeah.
That's right. And he was, some guy. Yeah, all right. Okay.
Deanna Rankins has heard the old saying about death and taxes. She worried for a moment that it might be true. The Des Moines tax preparer was accosted at work Thursday night by a knife-holding man who tried to rob her. Rankins backed down with a stapler. I felt the power of the Lord, she said. Police continued to search for a man who walked into the Jackson Hewitt tax service and demanded cash. Rankins scanned her desk for something she could use as a weapon, something that might trump the pocket knife she opted for, the stapler. It flip-flopped in her hand, she said, and it made her feel, well, really solid. She stood up. I've got no money. You better get out of here. She stepped toward him, and he stepped toward her. Then she raised the stapler and warned, I will fight you. The man hesitated and hurried out of the hospital. I would have stapled him, she said.
The stapler I got back at my desk is heavy, man. Because at a certain point, they started making staplers out of sort of lightweight plastic. But if you get a stapler from like the mid-70s to early 80s, like full-on metal. Let me just tell you this. When I was in Queens, we were back in New York, we went to the Museum of Modern Art. The Museum of Modern Art is in the former factory that manufactured swing line staplers. That's where it is. It's in the swing line stapler factory. So, there's nothing to do with anything. All right, we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KTK. Stay there.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, Sarah Dillon's got the traffic.
You know, I have nothing right now. Wait, my computer's just booting up. Hey, how you doing?
Oh, you talking to me?
Yeah, can you fill time for
I know, can we fill time by playing the Dean cut again?
And Oregon, and Washington, and Michigan! And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House!
Ah! All right, excellent.
Slow traffic due to...
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
That's what I'm talking about. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's a Rick Emerson show coming up later on. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be here and Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our man patrolling the corridors of power in D.C. It's CNN radio correspondent Dick Iuliano. How are you, Dick?
Good afternoon to you, Rick.
So, Howard Dean appears to have just come slightly uncoiled. I'm presuming by now you've heard his kamikaze battle cry. That he issued, I guess, sometime late last night.
Well, I heard that he's a very enthusiastic man to begin with. To put it charitably, and I heard that he was a little out of control last night.
Matt, do you have the cut? This is not fake. This is Howard Dean from I guess last night in Iowa. Go ahead.
And Oregon and Washington. Ah!
I mean, you can't make that noise and become president.
You're kidding, right?
No, that's real. I mean, we've edited it for length. Do we have the entire thing, Matt? We'll play this is true. This is real. Howard Dean, this is part of a speech last night where he was, after he finished third, and he was saying that they were undaunted and so forth. Go ahead and play the entire thing, Matt.
And Oregon, and Washington, and Michigan, and then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House! Yeah!
Can I say something, perhaps in his defense?
Sure.
I've been on some of these presidential campaigns. I traveled with Bob Dole in '96 and Clinton in '96, and traveled also in 1988, and it's a very exhausting process. I mean, you've heard about the long days,
oh, yeah.
And the food is really bad too. Somebody told me, for example, he put on 12 pounds. It's a very unhealthy physical process that these individuals go through on these campaigns, both the candidates, the aides, and the reporters. You may be seeing a reflection in that in his attitude last night.
Well, it's not, I mean, and seriously, it's not all that dissimilar from being on the road, I think, as a musician or a traveler.
That's right.
You know, the wrong kind of food and too much caffeine and too little sleep and...
you get a little bonkers after a while.
It's really true, but I mean, it was just the strangest noise to come out of a human being's head, especially a guy who, you know, who's trying to be president. I don't know to what extent you're even really covering the caucuses, but I mean, no one expected Kerry to win, but no one expected Dean to get busted down to third place.
Well, you know what, but when you talk to the analysts, what they tell you is, look, early on, everybody was talking about Howard Dean, and he was made the media darling, appearing on Time and Newsweek covers twice, but you know, the experts always questioned his electability, and it was almost kind of an Alice in Wonderland thing that Howard Dean had emerged to the front, while many people suggested he wouldn't stand an Ice Cube's chance against President Bush. So now come Iowa, as the last of the independents started to break and decide for somebody, a lot of analysts say, you know, it is kind of conventional and traditional that you would see them not gravitate towards someone who really is on the very fringe of his party, who the diehard Democrats went for right away. He never really did sway those closer to the center of the political spectrum.
And I guess the big surprise is Edwards, who finished second.
Is a surprise. You know, Edwards has no record in the Senate. He's a first-term senator. He's an attractive campaigner. I understand he's very good on the stump. I haven't heard his stump speeches, but he is somebody to be watched. John Kerry, he bears the same initials as another senator from Massachusetts, the last senator, by the way, to make it to the White House from the Senate, John F. Kennedy. He's largely been overshadowed in the Senate by Jack Kennedy's brother, Ted Kennedy. He doesn't have any real major legislation to his credit, but he's a war hero, much as JFK the first was, and he would certainly give Bush a tougher fight, perhaps, than would a Howard Dean.
So then, on the other side of the aisle, Bush himself is preparing for the State of the Union, which is going to be tonight. And this I mean, he obviously is just going to sit on the sidelines and sort of watch the Democrats just sort of go at each other like Wolverines. But what's his message going to be tonight when he does the State of the Union?
Well, I think you said it right there, and the analysts tell us that that's why this date was chosen for State of the Union. It gives the president the opportunity to stand before the apparatus of government, you know, on the grand stage of the Congress, and point out that he is the commander-in-chief. This is what he's done and what he wants to do, and let's let all these other people fight among themselves, you know, for the Democrat nominee. It makes him look above the fray. White House aides say he'll defend his moves in the war on terrorism, ask the American people to stay the course, and he'll also focus on domestic issues, which he knows he's vulnerable on in the polls, such as the economy, not enough jobs created, health insurance. He wants to do more about that. So issues foreign and domestic.
All right, there you go. There's CNN radio correspondent Dick Uliano. We will talk to you again undoubtedly tomorrow, recapping tonight. There you go. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Yeah, for anybody who doubts it, yeah, that Howard Dean cut is absolutely real, which is what makes it even better. It's like, Hollywood Howard Dean. Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK newsroom.
Jailblazer news. Forward Quintel Woods has been ordered to pay a $1,096 fine after pleading no contest to charges filed from a traffic arrest. He was cited last March when he was stopped for speeding and officers smelled marijuana coming out of his Cadillac. Woods is in Sacramento with the Blazers. He didn't appear in court. He sent his attorney to do all the dirty work.
Quintel,
there.
Isn't that like a mathematical? I don't know.
That's a cell phone company.
Daniel, you're in Portland. You're on Hot Talk Tonight, KFTK.
Hey, Rick.
Yay.
I got an article here. It says Howard Dean Ninja Power.
Yeah.
Apparently he appeared in a ninja movie in 1984.
Well, he certainly got the lungs for it. He certainly got the battle cry for it. So I don't know that it would surprise me. Isn't there? You have like a classroom you're supposed to be in right about now.
Yeah, I'm sick.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. Don't forget to lick your palms when no one's looking, so it seems like you're sweating.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. There you go. That's Daniel. Warping them young. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
They're the future of this nation.
Yes.
Funeral services are scheduled Monday for Philip Crosby, the last of the crooner Bing Crosby's four sons from the singer's first marriage to Dixie Lee, who was found dead in... First of all, Dixie Lee committed suicide in the 40s.
Well, didn't everybody in Bing Crosby's family...
Yeah, he's the last one out of this crop. Now, his second wife was much younger. Those kids are all still alive.
It's like being related to Bing Crosby is like watching
because of death.
It's like watching that Ring movie. You know, 6-7 days later, you have to shoot yourself.
So Dixie Lee killed herself in the 40s. Now, this fellow, Philip Crosby, was found dead in his Woodland Hills home earlier this week. It took this long to make it to the news. He was 69 years old. The coroners are saying that he died of natural causes. Bing's sons, following their father into showbiz in the late 50s, had an act called the Crosby Boys. After it broke up, Philip appeared in small film roles, including Robin and the Seven Hoods. He then dropped out of showbiz. Philip's twin brother, Dennis, committed suicide in 1991, as did his younger brother, Lindsay, 2 years earlier. Bing's eldest son, Gary Crosby, died of cancer in 1995.
One heck of a family there. Terry, a full-time listener. You're on Hot Talk Tonight, KFTK. What's up?
Maestro Emerson, good to hear you. I wanted to hear George W. Bush rebel yell, his victory rebel yell. Can you do that?
Is there one?
Well, there ought to be, because now we have competition.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's... Man, and the great thing about this Dean thing is it's like, you know that this is exactly the moment that all of his campaign strategists look at each other and just like, well, where's my resume? And I just get to start up. Because you can't, because that's one of those things that people are just going to seize on, and that's going to be like, there is no read my lips for Howard Dean. There's just, you know, that's all.
The whole Democratic campaign was dead and rigor mortis before it began.
No, I mean,
and now we should just come up with one for George W. Bush, because he's going to need one in a year, you know?
It's just great, though. I mean, it's just sheer entertainment value. There's just nothing that tops it. That's Terry. Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK newsroom.
Well, Utah Attorney General Mark Shurlap says polygamy is getting hit hard by the current controversies, and he's really pleased that teenagers are leaving the polygamous towns of Hilldale, Utah, and Colorado City, Arizona. All the media coverage of the problems in those towns has made it clear to teenage girls, as well as many of the parents, they don't have to put up with the authority of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The church recently ousted a number of older men and redistributed their wives and children to other men.
For so long, they've all been told that the government's that we're the enemy. that were there to abuse their rights, and I think many of them now are realizing that their rights are being abused by their religious leaders, and that the state is here to protect them.
How do you redistribute somebody's wives? Is that like one of those police auctions where they have like Lincoln Continentals that they've taken from some drug dealer or whatever? Is that like when somebody goes bankrupt in Monopoly and you just auction off their houses?
Time for the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch for Tuesday. All right, here's your Jackson Watch for Tuesday.
Well, hypnotized, Michael Jackson denies abuse allegations. Psychic Uri Geller has come to the defense of his friend Michael Jackson, saying the pop star denied under hypnosis 3 years ago that he had sexually abused children. He told Israel's Army Radio he hypnotized Jackson when the two were alone in a recording studio at an undisclosed location. The hypnosis took place before Jackson was alleged to have molested a cancer-stricken boy invited to his Neverland ranch. Last week, Jackson was formally charged in relation to that case. Geller said he asked Jackson about persistent rumors he had abused children. He answered, under deep hypnosis, that he never touched a child in a sexual way. And here he is in his exact words, he says, quote, my relations with children are very beautiful, unquote.
Who is Uri Geller coming? It's like having Shakes the Clown come to your defense.
That's today's Jackson
Watch. There's your Jackson Watch for Tuesday. You know, I'm just looking at CNN just had this poll about, not about Iowa, but about the actual likely primary voter's choice for nomination. And Dean is still number one there. But the best part is that Lieberman is fourth with 7%.
I want to hear Lieberman yell.
I want to find their 7%. I want to know what 7% of Americans are right behind Joseph Lieberman. And then right below him is, Al Sharpton at 1%, who I'm just surprised that's not higher. Al Sharpton, man, that's a guy that he was on the Real Time with Bill Maher this weekend. That's a guy that I got to give you some sound bites. But I want to find the seven. We're gonna put it's like spotting. It's like trying to get like a live video of the elusive giant squid or something. Trying to find a Joe Lieberman supporter.
Hats off to Neil in Northwest Portland who gave us this cannibal story. A German cannibal being tried for murder after he confessed to killing a man and eating his flesh. Shows no signs of mental illness, says an expert witness. Klaus Bier, a psychotherapist and a sexologist, told the state court that Armin Muse's fascination with cannibalism developed from an early age. He said Muse was a loner. He saw it as a way of being close to men. During examinations of the defendant, he told the court, I have never found any indication of psychological disturbances. In the case that opened last month, of course, we're all aware that he ate that fellow. He said the victim who traveled from Berlin, after answering the ads, wanted to be stabbed to death after drinking a bottle of cold medicine to lose consciousness. If convicted of murder, this man could face life in prison, but his lawyer argues that the slaying was instead a form of mercy killing, which would carry a maximum 5-year sentence.
What's his name? Lur?
Burr is the psychoanalyst.
Okay. All right. So there you go. There's your cannibal news for the. I saw they were shown a little shot from. It was like Serial Mom or something. They were showing the shot from outside the courthouse, and there's like these guys that have got full on like merchandise stands outside the cannibal trial. He's just become this. And the weird thing about the cannibal is they were talking about the number of women that still email or that still send him letters. It's like those. It's like that. What's his name? The Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez,
and
he got married to some nutcase woman from Kansas or something that was all hot for him. I don't know what it is, man. You become a serial killer, and it's just, man. It's like Spanish Fly. Doesn't make any sense. Rick, it sounded like Howard Dean was going to close with "I'm Stone Cold Howard Dean." Maybe he was having a flashback from Vietnam and showing that he knows the names of all the states. Yeah, that's a soundbite you're going to hear about 50,000 times by the end of the week.
Well, a man drove a late model Cadillac through a fence and off a cliff into Minnehaha Park in Minnesota Monday night, and then threatened to shoot the cops who climbed down the cliff to try to rescue him. It began about 5:40 p.m. when the man, whose name was not released, pushed a button to call OnStar. He said, I just stole this car. I have a gun. I'm going to kill someone.
I just stole this car. I have a gun. I'm going to kill somebody.
All right. Thank you for calling OnStar.
Okay.
The Cadillac didn't come back and stolen, and OnStar operators notified Minnesota police. We were trying to locate the car, which was equipped with global positioning technology. About the same time, police received a call from a woman who said she saw a car drive off a cliff. An officer managed to sneak up and spray mace on the man.
Right, let's get John in Aloha. You're a full-time listener. You're on Hot Talk Tonight, KOTK. What's up? John?
Hey.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, sorry about that. Hey, well, I'm going to vote for Dean. I'm an independent, but I'm going to vote for Dean because I want Dean to handle all the international negotiations because I would give anything to see him wig out like that. Could you imagine him in North Korea with that little Elvis-looking bastard?
And he's just coming across the table and...
I've got a missile with your name on it! I think we finally need a president who's got a little bit of... pizzazz.
Well, you know, it's like I forget who made this observation, but it's like after 9/11 happened, somebody said that, you know, what we ought to do is we ought to just blow up Montana, and we ought to just tell the rest of the world, look, be watching your TV at about 4, you know, and then and then just nuke Montana, and then just look at the camera, and go, okay, who wants some? Who wants a piece of this? You know, just
here's
a little
the other
crazy.
Thing too. Don't you always hear the press saying we're sick of boring candidates? You know, these guys like Buckle, great guy, but everybody's dull. It's really boring. Now, it's funny. Now this guy's, I swear, he's going to get crucified because he got a little exuberant.
Yeah, no, I want a guy that's just, you know, that's going to keep people a little off kilter. It's going to keep them a little unsteady. I don't quite know where he's coming from.
Keep us guessing.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's... Oh, that's a thing of beauty is what that is. That's John in Aloha. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Well, Russia has sent in the army to bolster a week-long struggle to rescue 10 tons of beer trapped under Siberian ice. A truck carrying the beer sank when it tried to cross the frozen river, and a rescue team of 6 divers, 10 workers, and a modified T-72 tank, and the emergency ministry have so far failed to save the load. The situation hasn't developed according to our ideal scenario, says the deputy head of that region, where it is now 17 degrees below zero. The week-long effort to cut a 100-yard corridor to the riverbank to pull the truck to dry land failed when the vehicle was swept away from the rescue site. The soldiers were confident it would take them just a day to retrieve the beer.
All right, let's do this. We'll come back. We've got more on the way, including Jeff, your phone calls, and all that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero and all that. Stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. And the 60s girls was all high. LSD had them giving up styles. The baby boom was on and I dropped. No more Woodstock, but now you got Mix-a-Lot.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, and how long before Leica starts taking people out Howard Dean style?
It'll probably be today.
I'll be surprised that doesn't happen today.
Yeah.
Here's Sarah with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Jeff, you're a full-time listener on a cell phone. What's up, brother?
Hey, I'm just wondering if you're shopping for a Cannibal Watch theme, because I was thinking, Crocus, Eat the Rich.
That's true, or there's also Aerosmith, Eat the Rich. There's either one of those. Yeah, we haven't really done a Cannibal Watch theme, but we're always open to suggestions.
Of course, the obvious is the Weird Al Yankovic, Eat It, anything by Fine Cut Young Cannibals or Missing Persons.
Man, Eat It, I think that may be perfect. I don't know that Eat It can be topped. I'm going to make, okay, note to self, Eat It. I'll even give you a credit. Jeff, Eat It, Hannibal.
Excellent.
Well suggested, brother. There you go. That's Jeff on a cell phone.
Somebody put on their thinking cap.
Yes. All right. Here's Tim Riley in the KFK newsroom.
TV tonight on Biography. It's Mary Kay Letourneau. A teacher has an affair with a boy. Dr. No, Sean Connery. That's Aunt Ursula Andress. Agent 007. American Idol's back on again tonight. And Simon spoke with us recently on the attitude he had when he started doing American Idol.
My attitude was, we would probably be taken off the air within 3 or 4 weeks. But that in itself would be quite funny. And that's the attitude I took. And I thought, well, fine, I'm just going to do exactly what I did on the English show. Have fun with this. And I didn't really care too much whether it was a huge hit or it was a controversial disaster. And that, actually, in hindsight, was absolutely the right approach.
You know, sometimes you can't really see pop culture in the making. Sometimes you don't really know until it's 10 years later what things you're going to be talking about or remembering or reflecting on or embarrassed by. But sometimes you can. And Simon Cowell is totally one of those things. Simon Cowell is totally one of those J.R. Ewing bastards that we're all, in like 2030, when we're all sitting and pining for our lost youth. Remember when we used to watch American Idol and Simon Cowell was on? He's going to be like one of those Mary Lou Retton guys, you know, that it's everybody reminisces on.
Simon, how do the fans of the show feel about your comments to the performers?
Most people, if they come up and shake my hand and say hi, they say, you say exactly what I'm thinking. And that's the best compliment you can have. Otherwise, you turn into like a stereotype sort of baddie. And in that respect, it's a great job to do because you don't have to go in there with any preparation at all. I mean, it's a real luxury. And the fact that you can say the first thing that comes into your mind, that is fantastic.
Meanwhile, on the Tonight Show last night, Cowell offered his opinion of Madonna. He said he used to be a fan, but he says motherhood has played Madonna's sex appeal.
The Madonna I used to like, you know, she was quite shocking and, you know, she did things with crosses and God knows what else. But now she's a mum and therefore she can't shock you anymore.
And he offers his opinion on Britney Spears and Michael Jackson.
It's like the child stars of America have gone mad. Like Michael Jackson, Britney, they were all child stars.
Right.
And they've all gone insane. Seriously, that's why we wouldn't have anyone, you know, below the age of 18 on our show, because I don't think they can cope with it. And this is what happens when they grow up. They go a bit nuts.
Which brings us to our Britney watch.
Here's your Britney watch for Tuesday Night Cameron Show. Why do we use this song for the Britney watch? Does anyone like this?
Really.
I was just thinking about this the other day that I really don't know why we decided to use this song.
Maybe we should change it.
Just sort of happened, I guess.
Well, Britney's friends are denying that she paid off Jason Alexander so he'd agree to annul their marriage. One tabloid said Alexander got $575,000. Another said he got $850,000 and a Porsche. Spears' friends tell USA Today that Alexander didn't get a dime. Meanwhile, Russell Crowe never looked like this in The Gladiator. Britney Spears wearing a sexy Gladiator outfit in a new Pepsi commercial. Beyonce and Pink wear skippy Gladiator costumes as well, and they have a big fight with Spears. Enrique Iglesias plays an evil emperor in The Spot. That's the new Pepsi.
I think it would have been a lot more interesting if she'd actually married, like, the real Jason Alexander. Like, if she just married, you know, from Seinfeld, like, if she just... Come on, that would have been a lot. And somebody gave me, this is from E. Britney Spears, and this is from, E! Entertainment Radio News. Britney Spears is penning a tell-all memoir. The idea of anything from Britney Spears can't be. It's like, did you ever read that hideous book that she did with her mom? I mean, I was in Powell's one day, and there was like, somebody had just traded it in, like they'd gotten it as a... Whatever, obviously gotten it as an ill-thought-out gift, and they were trading it in, so I sat and like thumbed through it, and it's just like... I mean, it's like the book, it just would blow away in the smallest puff of wind. But Britney Spears penning a tell-all memoir which would document her recent Las Vegas marriage to childhood friend Jason. So let me understand this. So not only does he get to marry and presumably pork Britney Spears, but then he gets a Porsche for it. Man, life is good if you... See, that's one of those things where it's just like everything lines up, the plan is in just the right order. Spears, who had the marriage annulled, will also talk about her relationship to Justin Timberlake. In the book, which also details her much-documented partying and rumored involvement with Limp Bizkit's Fred Durst. Yeah. Who wants to bet that the book... Who wants to bet that it comes out and reveals absolutely nothing?
Oh, that's... Yeah, it's the Joe Millionaire philosophy.
That's... Oh! Let's talk about Joe Millionaire for just a second. Are we still in the Britney watch?
Yes, we are.
Well, let's close the Britney watch.
Let's do that.
It's all coming back.
That now is why we use that song.
It's all coming back to me now. Okay, so who watched My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiancé last night?
Did not.
No way.
God damn, that is the best show I have ever seen. And you all know me. You know that I'm not down with the reality programming. You know that I got burned on Joe Millionaire. I'm telling you right now, I don't have any ulterior motive. I'm not being kitschy or sort of it's so bad it's good. That show is great. That is a fantastic show. And I can tell the high concept for the show. Now, first of all, I got to tell you, I had the TiVo, so I was able to skip the first 20 minutes, which was just a whole setup. It was just like this big prequel. The high concept of the show is Chris Farley as fiancé. It is fantastic. I mean, the show is, and it takes a lot to get me to laugh out loud, especially at a television program. I got to tell you, man, that is one of the funniest things I've seen on television. I mean, I've been saying that Arrested Development is the funniest thing on TV, and it's the best sitcom. But my big fat obnoxious fiance is brilliant. It's genius. I was watching it last night. The whole shtick is this. The whole gimmick of the show is, and it's another one of those things where the people who are making the show didn't always know what the deal was. They get this woman who looks a lot like Sarah Michelle Gellar, kind of an even better looking version of Sarah Michelle Gellar, but very glamorous, very refined, very, obviously, it's a really, really, really cinched down sphincter, you know, but she's very hot. But the deal is that they're like, okay, well, you're going to come on a reality show, you know, you're going to tell your, the deal is that she tells her parents that she's, you know, whatever, meeting a guy in a reality show or something like that, but she's got to convince her parents that this is a good guy for her, and if so, she gets $1 million. And so the show starts, and they bring out these 15 guys, all of whom are really good-looking, really, like, suave and sophisticated, and their names are, like, Enrique and, you know, and Braden, you know, and so they have her, this first 20 minutes of the show is kind of a big scam, because they have her narrow it down from 15 to 10 to 5 to 3, and then she finally picks the one guy that she wants to pose as her fiancé, and then they just get rid of him, and they bring out this guy who's really fat and greasy and sweaty. And he's like this guy who's like wearing a tux that's two sizes too small, and he like trips as he's coming out, and he's all got the bad, you know, like sticky hair, and he's all just like wiping his nose on the sleeve of his. But I mean, the guy is hilarious. And so they tell her, they're like, okay, this is the guy that's going to pose as your fiance. And of course, the deal is that the guy isn't really that. I mean, he obviously is fat, but he's not that big of a stumbling buffoon. He's playing that, but she doesn't know it. So she thinks that he really is just this big John Belushi looking bastard. And so the deal is they've got to live together in this house for 12 days, and then they've got to meet her friends, her family, her acquaintances one by one, convince them all that it's real, and they've got to get the blessing of everybody she knows. And if they don't do that, they don't get $1 million. And this guy is just a tool. I mean, the guy is just, I mean, he's like drunk early in the morning. He's like, they're going to, you know, it's just impossible to describe how classless the guy is.
Doesn't he get paid, though, if he sabotages the whole thing?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think the whole joy of the show just derives from watching her cringe every time the guy belches and farts in public. I mean, it's just brilliant. Are we going to do a thing? Well, we'll talk a little more about it when we come back. I'm telling you, man, you're not watching it, you're missing out. It's fantastic. I expected almost nothing, and it was a fantastic show. We'll talk more about that. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop coming up later to talk about some rocks on Mars or something. Clyde Lewis will be here, and more of your phone calls. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Jim Riley. Don't miss the season's final hat trick Thursday with your Winter Hawks. Be at the Rose Garden Thursday night for great hockey, plus $2 hot dogs, sodas, and more. That's your Thursday celebration. Tickets at Ticketmaster or WinterHawks.com. Also, there are two escaped inmates, not just one. And the cops have both of them. You kids can go outside and play again.
I'm looking at one of them. Is this Keith Stratton?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at Keith Stratton's picture right now. He's a real winner.
Is he a cousin of Mitchell Bickford by any chance?
You know what he looks like? He looks like a less attractive version of Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. That's if you can fathom such a thing. Because he's got this guy. I'll put the picture up here in just a minute. But Keith Stratton's got it all going on. He's got the mullet in the back, but then the top is sort of spiky. So it's like he's got this weird pincushion head on top, and then he's got the mullet in the back. And his face looks a little too long and narrow, as though it's been put in some sort of a vice grip.
Well, he leaped out of a moving truck in Northeast about 9:45 this morning and ran off. The truck was doing about 20 or 30 miles an hour. He was on a work crew, so they locked down the schools.
What kind of work would this man possibly be doing?
I don't know. Then in another unrelated lockdown in Multnomah County Courthouse, an inmate reportedly ran into downtown. Frederick Lee Fry ran out of a courtroom after a judge ordered him to serve time in jail.
pending a trial on theft charges. So deputies locked down the building as they searched for him. They eventually captured him moments ago at his last known residence, the Beaver Hotel.
Yeah.
506 Northwest 5th. I don't think I've ever come across the Beaver Hotel. Is there a sign there? I don't know. So that's that. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies. A bad day for prison escapees. High temperatures, 45 to 50. Cloudy tonight, foggy too. And sunny again tomorrow. No rain till, looks like, Thursday. Tim Riley, KOTK News.